I'm Ellen Mary.
And I'm Michael Perry.
And he's a plonky.
And she's a plant addict.
And this is the Plant-Based Podcast.
This is more than just a gardening podcast. We'll be exploring the world of plants from every possible angle. We'll be talking about plant-based diets, plant materials and fabrics, the well-being qualities of plants, and giving plenty of gardening tips and tricks.
So we'll be chatting worldwide to companies and individuals that are being creative with plants in new and exciting ways, from fabulous flower crowns to foliage-filled lounges,
botanical moisturizers to bamboo clothing.
It's all here.
And it's all made of plants. Good afternoon, guys. I'm on my second solo episode of the Plant-Based Podcast. So hello, hello, hello. I learned a bit from my first one. I realized that perhaps sometimes I talk too quickly, don't draw breath enough as well. But hopefully this is fine to listen to and you've got this kind of slowed down version of Michael. It's almost like, you know, when you used to play a record on your dad's record player and you could either slow it down or speed it up. It's kind of like that. So yeah, we're going to do a really fun podcast today. Anyway, so we're looking at career change in this week's episode, and this is one that had a lot of interaction online. I put a post in the All Horts group on Facebook, which is really great for anybody who's in or interested in horticulture. Jump on in there, have a little look. Also had a lot of tweets back when I sent a tweet out on my own account, and also a few comments on my own Facebook page too. So we're looking at how people can change their careers to horticulture, what could go right, what could go wrong, and also looking at a few people who decided not to and seeing why they decided not to and kind of what their reasons were. So we're looking at it from all different angles. As usual, there's no right answer to any of this. You know, it may or may not be for you, but hopefully I just want to open up that wider world so you can see what could be possible, because in horticulture, it's not just about kind of trimming hedges and digging gardens. I mean, if you look at my job, it's incredibly varied. I don't get my hands in the soil as often as I used to, which kind of drives me a bit crazy at times, but it's a very varied role. So it's kind of marketing, TV presenting. So something you couldn't imagine a horticulturist would be doing. So just kind of realize that it's such a wide range of things that you could be doing, which are indoors, outdoors, which are digging, traveling, marketing, PR, product development. So there's so much involved. In terms of my own career, I guess maybe some of you guys feel like this as well, but I really didn't know what else I would do if I wasn't working with plants. I think there's always one thing in your life, which is your passion and the thing that really ticks all the boxes for you, that really kind of, you know, makes your heart race. And for me, that is plants and gardening. So I'm really not sure what else I would have done if I hadn't ended up in this. I did some work experience at a vet's when I was 15, I think it was. But I think I fainted when I was sitting in on a castration. So no, that wasn't for me. Plants was always natural and something that came naturally to me as well. I remember being at college, which was the National Diploma at Otley College in Suffolk, and kind of realizing that it was plants that really got me going. And I didn't enjoy the sports turf, the driving tractors. It was a very general course, but it was the plants that came really naturally to me, and I could do it so easily as well, which was great. I was excellent in plant identification classes, drove everybody else crazy. I felt like such a square, but that was my thing. So thank the Lord I work in plants, because I'm really not sure what else I could do. Pretty useless outside of plants. I can't even boil an egg very well. So there you go. And I always put the wrong things in the washing machine. You know, putting wools with cottons, all of that craziness. Can't be doing with it. Anyway, but there's a part of education that I feel that I missed myself over the years. And I'm actually going to confess this to you guys right now, because my career has been very, very odd. So I basically grew up with my grandparents kind of growing lots and lots of plants. they were exhibiting at local flower shows. They were also judging at the shows, obviously different ones that they were exhibiting in. But it was a very kind of a real horticultural childhood that I had. They had very big garden glass houses. They were growing for the markets as well. I joined the WI market when I was 12, which has been much documented nowadays as well. I think I was the first male member, or the first young male member, actually. And when I got to 18, I then joined Thompson & Morgan. And Thompson & Morgan is a mail order plant company. So there, it was kind of a lot of marketing, product development, PR. So it wasn't really the practical side. So obviously I'd grown up with the practical side, had a kind of everyday plant knowledge, did the very general course in National Diploma in Horticulture, but I now have been freelance for 4 years and I realise there's a big gap in my knowledge, and that is the kind of botany side of stuff. So I don't truly understand a lot of the botanical side, even though I know these plants very well as a product, also as a plant that they would grow in your garden, kind of how to care for them. But kind of the botanical makeup is something I've really got missing. And sometimes feel a bit embarrassed to kind of admit that, because like being Mr. Plant Geek, I feel like I have to be able to answer every question about, you know, everything in the world. You know how it goes? Why did my plant die? I don't know. So I was going to maybe soon enroll on a botany course of sorts and potentially looking at one at Cambridge Botanic, and was chatting to the lovely lady Helen about it the other week. So watch this space, because my career is still developing, even though I've been in the industry for 20 or so years. That doesn't work out if I'm 26 now, though, does it? Anyway, so we're going to look at a few of your experience first of all. So in a moment, I'm going to run through some of those comments on Facebook and Twitter. In the first section, I'm going to look at your positive experiences. So people that have made that change, tell a few of those stories behind that. And then later in the show, we're going to hear from a very familiar voice, but we're also then going to look at kind of where it might have gone wrong for some people, or reasons why they don't feel they could make that jump. And sometimes they're happy with that, sometimes they're not. But there's also a few examples where people have got a dual career as well, doing both things at the same time. So keep listening and you will find out a lot more about horticulture and the careers that are available in there. And there'll be some surprises for you as well. Stick with us. So let's look at a few of your comments on Facebook and Twitter. I had a particularly good response from the All Horts group on Facebook. So thank you to everybody in that group who replied to my message. I was overwhelmed by the amount of replies that were mostly positive and gave examples of people that had those kind of career changes as well. So let's run down that list. So these are people who've had a successful move into horticulture of some form or another. So first of all, Moore Lynn, she says she retired from forensics, fingerprints, after 25 years, and she now runs her own nursery full time. She's been doing small local shows and farmers markets since 2006. She became an RHS exhibitor in 2017. So it seems like Moore Lynn really is living that dream. Amanda Thompson, she said she was working in the NHS for years. She took a risk and enrolled on an RHS course. My reading skills are not the best. I'm so sorry, everyone. She studied with a fab group, which is still her support network, and they call themselves the Flower Pots. And there's never a quiet moment when they get together. They all do very different things, but all have a connection with horticulture. She set up her own gardening business. The largest garden she cares for is 13 acres, and she's loved the change. When she's out and about and when people ask her what she does for a living, they always light up and talk about their own gardens when she reveals that she's into horticulture. She also gives them top tips and advice. Ah, great, Amanda. I tend to glaze over when somebody at a party asks me for gardening advice, but maybe I'm too standoffish. I'm sorry, everyone. Sue Davies, she was a pediatric nurse for 15 years. She had a career break in order to bring up her three children. She then completed her RHS Level 2 and garden design courses during that time. Now, I'm going to talk about the RHS courses later in the program, because Level 2 is one of the most popular to look out for, and there's a few different options there. She retrained as a teacher, which she did for 10 years, and then left to set up her own garden maintenance business. Fantastic. Well done, Sue. Next up, Amber Hine. She worked in technical theatre rigging and operated lighting and video equipment, mostly in London. She's now a practicing garden designer working from Bedfordshire, and she loves it. So obviously moved out of London in order to then pursue that horticultural career. She's still finding her feet in places, but has been doing that for a little over a year now. She loves the work, the people, and the places. Great point there, Amber, because sometimes with horticulture, people assume that you need to know everything straight away, but that is not the case, and we are all always learning. So never be ashamed to ask people in the different Facebook groups or, you know, or to learn something or look it up. We can't be expected to know everything, even though sometimes the general public thinks that. So Darren Welch, electronics design engineer for 23 years, and then redundancy came along, and that was the kick he needed to do something else. He retrained at Sparsholt and has been a self-employed gardener ever since. The best 2.5 years of his life. Oh, fantastic. I'm going to read out one more before we then move to kind of the extended part of the show where I'm talking to one specific person about her experiences in horticulture and her big, big career change as well. Right, so before we go there, we've got a bit of a thread here. So Dave Hardy said he was a primary school teacher for 15 years. He then left to start his own daffodil farm. Wow. And at present, he's studying a degree in horticulture, and he's never been happier. And he's seen his kids grow up, and they love spending time outdoors in the fields or in the garden. That is brilliant. That is Dave Hardy. And Kirstine Douglas then replied to him and said, yep, same here. I stopped after 10 years to have kids. She couldn't face going back to all of that paperwork in teaching. And it never felt good enough, no matter how many hours she put in. She did her higher national certificate in horticulture and has never looked back. And now she works full time. And she says, oh, where am I? And now she feels like she wants to live forever. And she adds a piece there that she asked for a job gardening when she was 17, but was turned away. And she had the feeling it was because she was female and she's not even a feminist. So it shows that sometimes some of us want to do gardening when we're younger, but we're kind of dissuaded from doing that or kind of encouraged to go down a completely different route. And you will find that with Wendy, who's coming up shortly. And we're going to talk to her about her experiences because she's had a very varied career, so a real portfolio career. She started off gardening when she was young and then moved into fashion. And after that, she then started a career in horticulture. So she's had a real career change in that time. So I'm going to pass you over to Wendy now, and she's going to let you know all about her experiences in horticulture. So you can join us on her lovely warm sofa in Surrey. I'm here in this week's episode because we're looking at career changes and people that have changed career from something very, very different into horticulture. And I'm always very interested in those because very often they are so varied, and sometimes the route into horticulture wasn't always smooth, or perhaps the person had everybody around them kind of saying, no, don't do that or don't do this. So this week I'm talking to my friend Wendy, who I first met when she worked at Clifton Nurseries. She's now at Chelsea Physic Garden. And we just came back from the perennial party.
We did.
And we're sitting in your lounge and it's so warm and cozy and just even the estate you live on is so idyllic.
Thank you. We've got the fire on.
Thank you for inviting me into your home.
My pleasure.
So we're going to talk to you about career changes. And you've told me this is your first podcast interview as well.
Very first podcast.
Yeah? Is that why you look so nervous?
I'm terrified.
No.
You're scaring. It's because we're sitting quite close together.
It's because we've been really sensible and usually we're just messing around all the time, aren't we?
I know. Can I also say I've got a bad cold, so...
Oh, okay.
Just, you know... Disclaimer.
So that's you think you sound really husky and
I'm hoping
husky
so.
Mama.
Yeah.
So now you work in horticulture, but you haven't always worked in horticulture. You've had quite a illustrious career, haven't you?
Well, have I? I don't know. I think so. I'm very proud of myself, but it wasn't plain sailing to get where I am.
So you're working in horticulture now, but take us right back. So in your childhood, were you involved with plants? Was there some sort of seed that was planted?
Get what you did there. My parents would garden, and I would make the classic little miniature gardens that you make when you're small.
Garden on a plate?
Maybe.
No. I don't meet people very often who've done that before.
Oh, mini gardens.
I used to do that at the local flower shows.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, you're very cute.
They need to bring that back.
Need to bring that back. Mm. Maybe we should.
Yes. Oh, plan hatching.
Anyway, watching space. So didn't really think about horticulture at all. And then I think I was probably, I don't know, I went to art college because I thought I was going to be...
So you never felt you were doing a career in horticulture? It's just something your parents, you know, were showing you how to do a few things here.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody ever really showed me, wasn't really terribly interested. Was probably more of a creative, so artist, painting a lot.
Okay.
But then sort of ended up doing something very different. I found myself working at Vogue House, which is where all the sort of big glossy fashion magazines are produced, which is very exciting and a very glamorous place to hang out. But it sort of dawned on me that perhaps it wasn't where I wanted to be.
So when you were there, were you then, you know, gardening on the side at the weekends or...?
So I think by that stage I'd discovered a love of gardening. So that sort of was slowly creeping into my life. I didn't really have a clue what I was doing. And at that stage I was renting houses, so didn't really have a plot to call my own, but was starting to feel like, you know, it'd be nice to grow some things, plant some things. And then I think the big change came when I got an allotment really didn't have a clue.
And you were still working at Vogue at that point?
I was.
And you were also at Condé Nast as well?
So Condé Nast is at Vogue House. And I would sort of sashay off to the allotment in my little outfit.
Couture.
And I all used to think, what the heck's coming along here?
Oh, wow, that must have been so cool. Did you get some comments then?
Yes, but actually what I liked about allotments and people that have allotments, and I still do, is that it's a great leveller and nobody actually cares what you do or who you are.
True.
All that people care about is just having a nice time and all working together to grow things.
So why did you start the allotment? Was it like life in the city a bit too much? You were looking for that kind of nature fix, really?
I think it was just a case of finally buying a house, not really having a garden. And by then I was starting to feel like it would be nice to have somewhere to...
And I guess it kind of echoed back to what you'd been taught as a child as well. So you kind of had that knowledge there that you can grow your own.
Yeah. So I gave it a try. Genuinely didn't have a clue what I was doing, but... Had some failures.
And some successes, hopefully.
Had some successes. But what was really lovely was quite a few of the sort of old guard of allotmenteers. I think basically could see that I didn't have a clue, so would come and...
Is that because you were digging in high heels?
Probably. using them as digging devices.
Yeah.
They'd come over and kind of keep a watchful eye on me and give me advice and just sort of tut and kind of water things. So that was really nice, and I made some really good friends with some unlikely characters.
Oh, that's really cool.
Really nice, yeah.
Because you're right, it is a great leveller, and you, in that environment, you're meeting everyone from different walks of life that you wouldn't usually naturally hang out with.
So you just hang out with some really crazy characters, and that's really lovely. So I've still got a dear friend from my very early allotment days who who I've kept in touch with and, you know, used to make me cups of tea and serve me mince pies that were about 10 years out of date. It's an actual fact. And, you know, had the wisest words about how to grow potatoes and cabbages and could grow the best cauliflower I've ever seen. So that kind of opened up a world to me. And I think the other thing to say is the thing about allotments is you can be a bit bold because it's not your garden, so you can kind of be a bit more experimental.
Okay.
So you can sort of...
Because it's not a showpiece, you
exactly.
mean?
Exactly. Yeah. You can just, you know, grow flowers and plants together in crazy combinations and it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And things will come up that you didn't expect because maybe someone had the allotment the year before you, so seeds might be lying dormant that suddenly pop up that you think, gosh, that's a happy surprise.
Secrets of the soil.
Exactly, yeah. Secrets of the soil.
That sounds like a new novel.
It does.
A racy one. So, yeah, so you've got your allotment, you're kind of building it up, you're getting lots of advice off your little allotment friends.
Yes.
But you still got the day job in the city.
Still got the day job.
But then you must be yearning for something more.
So I think the sequence of events was that my brother is a head gardener. And I used to go and sort of visit him and see his beautiful garden and his lifestyle. And I just thought, oh, he's got the best job in the world. And of course, I used to.
But what did you think, if I can rewind a bit there, what did you think when you were a teenager when he was then following a career in horticulture?
Didn't really register.
Oh, he's crazy, what's he doing?
No, I just didn't really register.
You were just doing your own thing.
I was doing my own thing, and I'm a big sister, and, you know, he's
being
just...
Being that nonchalant big sister.
Exactly, I was way
too
cool.
I'm doing this.
I'm doing this, I'm owning this. I was way too cool. And then I think... I saw what he was doing and thought, wow, what an amazing thing to do. Just what a lovely thing. And was just started to really hanker after doing something in horticulture. And he just said to me, oh, don't be so ridiculous.
Really?
People like you are annoying to work with. Maybe that's because I'm his sister. But he just said, oh, no.
Annoying to work with, why? Because you're one of those fairy tale career changers,
I think,
you mean?
So, yeah. And I think he said, oh, you think it's just going to be skipping around with a basket of flowers? And he said, it's really hard work. And I was like, I can work hard. He said, oh, no, you're just, no. He said, just don't. So he was quite negative.
And did he talk about wages as well or that side of things?
Didn't get into it. And then actually I was determined to show him wrong and applied for an entry-level gardener with one of the big gardening charities. The application took me about 6 weeks to download on their website. I wanted to know everything, including my shoe size. Was ridiculously low salary, but I was determined and didn't hear a peep, like nothing. And he said to me, kind of, well, there you go, see, told you so. So I was really.
So actually, what was propelling you forward was sibling rivalry as much as anything.
Yes, I was determined and I wasn't, and I was feeling a bit like, oh God, how do you even get a break? You know, I'd kind of decided that, okay, I know I'm not going to make a fortune, but I want to have a go at this. And so I was quite disheartened, but I thought, no, I'm not going to be beaten. I'm going to try. So I actually started. The next thing I did was tried to do other people's gardens at weekends. So I was doing my full-time job in the week. And at weekends, I put flyers through all my neighbours' letterboxes.
Oh, my gosh, wow. That's amazing.
And got my first phone calls and went and had a go at doing other people's gardens.
Wow. So in the week, you were in this high-fashion world, and at the weekend, you were digging in heels.
Yes.
That's amazing.
And I have to be honest, somebody asked me to cut a hedge for them. And I actually had to watch a YouTube clip because I never cut to hedge before.
But you still did it. That's amazing.
I did it. And
that's a great way to learn as well. There's so much great how-to online.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's the best way to learn. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say it was necessarily the right way to learn. But mm-hmm. I had a ball. But I learned some hard lessons. Yeah. I learned it's really hard work. Like
your brother told you.
Like he told me. It's not the same as doing your own garden.
Yeah.
When you're working for other people, they want to see results. You yeah. can't just sit around and think that looks pretty and, oh, I'll have a cup of tea now. Yeah. You have to work really hard.
Yeah, it must be a big difference.
Huge difference. Yeah. So after a few sort of weekends of feeling very sore mm-hmm. but pleased, I was really mm-hmm. loving it. I thought, oh, do you know, I'm perhaps a bit old to be getting into this type of gardening. So I thought, there's got to be another way. And thought, I know what I'll do. I'll take the skills I've got and see if I can move into the horticultural arena mm-hmm. to kind of itch that scratch. So I set about looking for a job in horticulture, but maybe not quite as hands-on mm-hmm. because I learned that actually okay. it's quite hard work.
Yeah. But also, horticulture doesn't have to mean digging a garden. There's no. so many different roles in it, you
exactly.
know, from what I do, what you do, kind yeah. of marketing, PR, everything mm-hmm. that encompasses it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. yeah. So, and I had no idea. I had no idea it was yeah. such a broad area. Of course, I do now, mm-hmm. but at the time, no idea.
Mm, I guess a lot of people are in the same shoes as you.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
yeah.
So I the next thing I did mm-hmm. was to start to apply for jobs in the horticultural world. Mm-hmm. Was interviewed for a job, a very small, posh garden centre mm-hmm. where I believe we met.
Oh right, yeah, yeah.
I got down to the final two.
Was this the first job you applied for?
No, I'd applied for a few, and I sort okay. of had a few kind of people I was talking to, but yeah. was having various success. Mm-hmm. And then was actually turned down for that job mm-hmm. By the people interviewing me, and then was kind of getting places. I was sort of getting more... It was quite hard work and quite slow because I didn't have any experience. So
yeah, they must have thought they must be looking at your CV and
exactly.
thinking.
Exactly, I think
what?
They were thinking, "Who's this yeah. lunatic yeah. looking fabulous?"
How did you explain that away then?
It was hard, and I yeah. think if I think back, I genuinely was winging it a bit and yeah. I wasn't really sure, but all I was, what I was determined.
You were following your dream.
I was, yeah. and I knew I had to do it. Yeah. And then I got a random call one day, and it was the guy who'd previously turned mm-hmm. me down, and he said, "Oh, do you remember me?" And mm-hmm. I said, "Oh, vaguely." I was trying to be cool.
Yeah.
And he said, "Well, I interviewed you a couple of years ago and I didn't want to employ you then, but I might have something that's of interest now. Uh-huh. So shall we talk?" Mm. So that was Matthew Wilson.
Yeah.
And we talked, and I pretended I didn't uh-huh. remember him, but clearly I did. And he offered me a job at Clifton Nurseries. Uh-huh. And it was the best thing I ever did.
So why the change? Why?
So why?
How come he wasn't ready for you previously?
So I don't know. Maybe he just realised. Maybe it was, you know. Yeah. Maybe he just had a feeling. The role he offered me in the end was probably more about PR and marketing than anything.
So, but linked to plants.
So. Yeah, so it's slightly different to the original role I'd applied for, mm-hmm. but actually what it helped me do was prove to him that mm-hmm. I did have that passion and yeah. I could do what he needed me to do. And so I stayed there for 6 years and really mm. loved it and learned so much.
Yeah, and when I first met you there, I was, like, quite taken with how you kind of blended your fashion heritage with what you were doing there in terms of then, I don't know, like the displays, or you'd have like photo shoots there, yeah, and kind of that blend of worlds really benefited,
yeah,
Clifton Nurseries, yeah, in being kind of a little bit more,
yeah,
kind of fashionable, yeah, as a location. And, yeah, of course, that coincided with plants and horticulture becoming, mm, more popular as well.
Yeah,
and
I think it's, yeah, all, it's, I mean, it's all, I mean, for everything sort of takes its inspiration from nature almost, doesn't, mm, it? And when the worlds, mm, collide, and they can collide,
yeah, yeah,
I think it's brilliant. So
I know. So what would be one of your highlights from Clifton?
Oh, goodness me.
The Clifton
me.
Stage of your...
Oh, goodness me. Career. I mean, quite early on, we had a pretty amazing party for a big fashion brand. And
you've got to name drop a few people here, please.
So let's just say it was a pretty big shoe brand, high-end fashion, not easy to walk in. And they pretty much needed every single plant in the nursery to be moved.
Yeah.
Brought in ridiculous amounts of cut flowers, big, huge, mm-hmm, big displays of cut flowers. Turned the place around, did a ridiculous amount. It was a nightmare, mm-hmm, but actually the result was, you know, lots of coverage in the Evening Standard, yeah, and all the glossy magazines, and huge amounts of PR, which then drove interest in the garden centre,
yeah,
so it all came,
course,
full circle. So
so you were able to utilise a lot of your previous contacts.
Exactly.
Which is fun.
Yeah, yeah, really fun. I also really enjoyed helping Matthew on a couple of Chelsea Flower Show gardens.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So that was really interesting. But I think the nicest thing has been just meeting some of the really lovely people who are involved in horticulture.
Mm.
Not just you, but yeah, there are so many nice people, and it's a really,
yeah, yeah,
kind and welcoming industry.
Mm. You don't feel that people treated you any differently because you didn't have any formal qualification in horticulture?
I don't think so, no.
That's
I
good.
I think yeah, yeah, but I think you sort of, once you get into it, it's fine. It's just the breaking into it that is the challenge. So I think you just have to be quite determined and,
yeah, yeah,
and determined to persevere.
Yeah. And even though you bring in fresh ideas, you know, they were ready to embrace that, because sometimes horticulture is seen as, we don't like new ideas. We're,
yeah,
not very quick to embrace those.
I think you just have to keep trying and keep pushing. And I think, you know, just like so many other things, you have to, the world is evolving, and people's tastes are evolving, and social media is helping to share new ideas. So, you know, I think it doesn't happen overnight, but you can get there.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So that's one facet of horticulture you've worked in. And then after that, you moved on to another location, which is quite a prestigious location as well.
Yeah, so I went from... So I moved from Clifton Nurseries to the Chelsea Physic Garden, which is where I am now.
Oh, that must be a dream role.
It's pretty good, yeah. It's a very... I sometimes pinch myself and think, wow, how did I manage to get here?
And tell us about your role there. So you're commercial director.
Commercial director. Uh-huh. So I look after a team that deliver the income that supports the garden, which is a charity. The garden's been there for 350 years and is beautiful, right on the edge of the Thames in London. And so I look after so things like the private events, the shop, the membership, marketing, PR, and a few other aspects.
Wow.
Quite a long list, all obviously not all single-handedly.
That is so cool, because you've managed to change your whole career within the span of what?
Maybe
15 years?
10, yeah,
15
probably
years?
10 years.
That's
yeah.
incredible.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
so you're on one career path in that direction, and suddenly you managed to switch it to that. And that's so inspirational.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think it's just something that probably wasn't deliberate. And I think if I think back, you know, I could not in my wildest dreams have planned it. I'm really grateful to some of the people that kind of gave me a break along the way and had a bit of faith in me.
But they must have seen a passion in you and a kind of willingness to learn as well.
Yeah, or maybe they just gave up trying. They just relented. Oh,
I think that's amazing. So if for any listeners, you'd have some advice, because a lot of people are probably out there now sitting in a job they're not necessarily happy in, probably, you know, looking out of a window from a desk, a dreary day outside, and wondering, like, how can I really have a job that I want in horticulture? Yeah. And that doesn't have to be being a head gardener or being a garden designer. It can be marketing, PR. It can be so multifaceted.
Definitely.
What would be your tips of, so, you know?
I would say, I think, you know, maybe try, put your toe in the water. Mm-hmm. Try doing some of the things you think you might like to do.
Just on the side.
Maybe. You can you can volunteer at a lot of gardens. Certainly we have a lot of volunteers who help us in all aspects at the Chelsea Visit Garden.
And are they people that are looking to career change?
Some of them are. So some of them are. Some of them are students. Some of them are retired. Some of them want to give back. So they've had you know, really great careers, and they want to now spend a bit of time giving back to a charity. Mm-hmm. So I think if you can volunteer or try and do what you love, even if it's only an hour a day, you know, maybe if you're in an office, you could start introducing a few plants on the desks and, you know, maybe start a little gardening club, just slowly, slowly. And I think build a little network of people.
Okay. And I guess social media really helps with that anyway.
Definitely.
And I certainly know there's some followers out there that are doing just that.
And I think, you know,
but it's then about making that jump, isn't it?
It's about making the jump. But just do it, because you've only got one life, and why not? I mean, who knows what you're capable of if you have a go and try.
Exactly, and life can keep changing, and just don't be scared of that, because it often changes for the better, doesn't it?
It does, absolutely. Wow. Absolutely.
That's brilliant. Oh, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Oh. Anytime.
Can we go back to being silly now?
Can we have a cup of tea now?
Cool. Thank you very much, Wendy. That's brilliant. There you go, Wendy's wonderful and quite fascinating story there. We're going to read out a few more of your positive kind of horticultural career change experiences now. So these are a few from Facebook and Twitter. First up, we've got Terry Hedges. He was a London black cab driver for 16 years. He's just done his RHS Level 2 in 2006, but he could never make the switch. However, 2 years later, he gave up driving a cab and went to work in a private school as a groundsman, and then started his RHS Level 3 diploma. And the rest is history. Next up, we've got Keith Marshall. He left a perfectly good, well-paid job in product development for supermarkets. He'd had enough of the 9-to-5 and hated his job. So after a conversation with his brother-in-law over the weekend at a family barbecue, he jacked in his job. He was so unhappy doing what he was doing. He was trying to survive on very little sleep, thanks to his newborn son. And so he just jacked in his job and walked out. So it's great, because sometimes you have big conversations with people at parties or summer barbecues, and you don't necessarily act on it. But Keith, he did the next day. So he started laying turf the very next day. So from shirt and tie one day to lightweight trousers and boots the next. This was 22 years ago, and he hasn't looked back since. Fantastic. A few more. So Rachel Gavan, last year she switched children's nursing for digging, and now she has her own gardening maintenance business. She's got no regrets. Hannah Powell, she did a degree in horticulture and then worked in London in PR and comms, as all the hort jobs seem to be in rural areas. She actually came back into horticulture 10 years ago when she rejoined her parents' garden centre business in a marketing role. Wow, that's amazing. Oh, I've got real job jealousy there. She says, oh, this is a downside, guys, so if you are going into horticulture, be aware of this. Working in a garden centre, a lot of her wages go on plants. So thank goodness she gets a discount. Couple more. So Vicky Rimmer has pointed out that Neil Miller, who's the head gardener at Hever, actually worked as an insurance broker in the city and retrained in horticulture. And I know that he had been on a lot of different radio interviews recently talking about his career change. Then we got Karen Gimson on Twitter. Karen's a great lady. I love her. She says her children slept in Moses baskets under her drawing board as she took part in RHS courses learning to be a garden designer. She moved from writing for newspapers to creating something of lasting value. It's been a wonderful, happy career change, and she's loved every second. Wow, that is great. Thank you, Karen. Thank you to everybody who sent in your comments. Now, they're all the positive comments. And before we move on to the next section of the people that are not sure about making that jump, we're going to hear from a very familiar voice. So we're going to speak to Ellen about her career change because she used to work in a very different industry. So she's coming up next.
Hi everyone, here's that familiar voice. Yep, it's me, Ellen Mary, the other half of the Plant-Based Podcast. You know, this particular podcast episode, all about career changing into the world of horticulture, is super close to my heart because I have been a gardener my whole life. So since I was tiny, I've loved plants and being with nature, and I was told when I went to see my careers teacher, you know, when I said I love plants, she basically dismissed it and told me I could be a nurse or a teacher. So, you know, I didn't know back then that there were careers in horticulture waiting for me. So I ended up working in HR and business management. And I had a really rewarding career and I really enjoyed it. And I met some amazing people and I still got friends that I met 20 plus years ago who are super great. I brought skills and experiences into what I do now in horticulture. But when I hit 30, I just realised that life's a bit too short to not be doing something you're really, really passionate about. And quite frankly, men in suits just didn't do it for me. So I decided to leave my job. I was doing maintenance gardening on the side anyway, and I'd been doing that for years and years. I'd always been gardening, like I said, so it kind of wasn't a massive change. And I ended up quitting, I took my certificates with the RHS, and I have never looked back since. So that's how I career changed, if you like. It was just a moment in time, and I just thought, you know what, enough's enough. You have to do what you're really passionate about. And gardening is good for the planet, it's good for the soul, it's good for the mind, it's good for the body, and I just absolutely love it. So if you are considering a change of career into horticulture, then I simply cannot express how amazing it will be, how much you will love it. It's really hard work, but it is just so enjoyable, and the careers out there are just, they're just vast now as well. So you don't have to, you know, be outside in the garden all the time if you don't want to. If you've got skills that you've learned in a prior career to bring into horticulture, then you could perhaps do something else. So I do loads of writing. I do tons of copywriting, loads of ghostwriting, lots of marketing, lots of talks. I have a radio show, of course, this podcast, amongst many other things. So really, the opportunities are endless in horticulture. So I love it. And good luck if you decide to take the leap too.
So next up, we're going to look at people who are either combining a new horticultural career with their current career, or people who haven't feel like they could make that jump for one reason or another. So it's good to always see both sides of these situations. So let's have a little look at those comments. So first up, we have Richard Suggett on Facebook. He says it's not quite a career change that he's had. He's still doing his day job, but also running a podcast alongside. And that's actually opened up a world of opportunities within the gardening industry, as well as making plenty of new friends. And he's actually put plants as new friends. So either way, it works. Jenny Sutcliffe said this is a great topic. She's looking to change her career after 20 years in banking and IT. She wants to be closer to nature and part of the solution for the climate crisis rather than part of the problem. We've also got a comment here from Alison Levy, who's got the award-winning Blackberry Garden blog. She said she hasn't had a career change, but she lives in a parallel world of writing as well as her day job. So that's great that she's managed to keep the two running. And I know she comes to a lot of the events as well, so she's doing an excellent job of that dual career there. Double Digger on Twitter says, I'll admit that I searched this week for entry-level horticultural jobs. There were just two within the same company growing a crop that was recently legalised. Did you go for it or not? Let's wonder. Reese on Twitter says, currently a student at Winterbourne, studying an RHS Level 2 certificate in practical horticulture, so that when he's ready, he can then make that career change. Councillor Joe Porter on Twitter, I considered a career in horticulture when I was younger, and I've always loved plants, nature, and being outdoors. He was even taught how to graft apple trees. How fantastic. He decided against a career in horticulture, though, as he didn't see enough opportunities in the sector and wanted to keep it as a hobby instead. Of course, that is also okay. You know, gardening could be a fantastic, enthusiastic hobby, just that runs alongside your day job. Patrick Kerwan replied to us on Twitter. He said, a partial transition from science teacher to community gardening. Still work as a teacher 4 days a week and community gardening 7 days. Hey, the gardening gets more days than the teaching. We like the sound of that. Two more examples before we move on to a little bit of advice on a few of the courses and ways that you can actually get into horticulture as a career. So Melissa Mabbitt on Facebook says, I went from desk to digging to desk again. So she's now about to start digging once more. It's like the horticultural hokey-cokey. And last one, Joy Evans. She said she worked for the NHS for over 20 years and left 3 years ago, and now she has a level 2 RHS. Volunteer work is easy to find, but paid work is much harder to find. So, both sides of the coin there with those comments. So thank you for all of the feedback that you've given me. It's been absolutely overwhelming. You know, a lot of you are working in horticulture. Perhaps you're working in horticulture as well as something else, as well as people that are looking to get into it. And hopefully we've inspired a lot of you that are sitting in a day job that, you know, isn't inspiring and you want to be with plants more. In the next section, which is our final section, we're going to look at a few of the different ways you can get into horticulture. So bear with us. So if you're looking to get into horticulture, where can you study? How can you do that? It could be a part-time course. It could be an evening course. It could be distant learning as well. There's a lot of online kind of routes that you can use too. Just have a little search, look for approved courses. But of course, the big one is RHS. RHS Level 2 is the most popular course. And there's a range of different ones that you can actually choose from. So I'm just browsing the website right now to give you a bit of a taster of what you could do on an RHS course. And of course, they are held in approved centres across the UK, at colleges as well, and of course through distant learning too, which is potentially a lot easier than it used to be in the older days. Now we've got the internet as well. So I remember when I was a kid seeing Open University programmes on TV and not quite understanding how that worked, but now it's a world of opportunities. So let's look at a few of the different options the RHS have got. So first up, principles of plant growth, propagation and development. Then we've also got principles of garden planning, establishment and maintenance, certificate in the principles of horticulture, and we've also got practical certificates. So we've got certificate in practical horticulture, which helps you to develop those essential horticultural skills. So that would be a really good all-rounder. And we've also got a diploma in the principles and practices of horticulture. So you'll find all of those on the website. So have a little search, see what you've got there. There's also a few other gardening schools, such as the English Gardening School. They've got diplomas which are globally recognised as well. And of course, you've got the biggest tool in front of you, which is the internet and social media. Obviously, you need to be a little bit careful because not all the information there is necessarily correct. But we've got that information at our fingertips, so we could potentially teach ourselves a lot of these different things. If you're, as long as you're using an approved establishment such as the RHS or BBC Gardeners World website, then it is possible to learn, you know, how to prune a wisteria through YouTube tutorials, or, you know, to learn different plants through following specialist Instagram accounts. So really, all the tools are already at your fingertips like never before. You know, we've got real potential to make that career change these days. You know, say 20, 25 years ago, it wasn't as easy to kind of do what you wanted to do, really. We did get stuck into jobs that we weren't that keen on. So hopefully that gives you a bit of inspiration, a bit more information behind what is possible. I will put a few of those links to the different gardening schools, perhaps find a few more, and put those onto the website, which will then go out at the same time as this episode. So thank you for joining me on one of my solo plant-based podcasts. And yes, keep in touch. Let us know what you think about the podcast. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review. If you're going to leave a 4-star review, let us know first. What didn't you like? Was it my accent? Anyway, thank you very much. And don't forget to share it with your friends, especially ones who are looking to get into horticulture, because we want you here because it's pretty cool. See you later, guys. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Plant-Based Podcast.
Have a browse of the rest of the library or hop on over to the website, which is theplantbasedpodcast.net.
You'll also find our social media links. Please connect with us and let us know about any plant-based projects that you think we should be covering on the show.
And make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you'll be the first to hear the next episode. We're releasing once a fortnight. So until next time, enjoy the world of plants.